Hey gang, are you a musician here in Austin? You're trying to get it together and break into the scene? Well, let me tell you about the Austin Music Foundation. The Austin Music Foundation is a nonprofit whose mission is to strengthen and connect Austin's music community with innovative programs that empower music professionals and Austin's creative economy. With expert panels, consultations, mentoring, and mixers, AMF's programs provide the necessary tools and opportunities to succeed in the Austin music industry, all right? Get involved by going to austinmusicfoundation.org. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. We got three shows this week. By surprise, I realized that there was a few that I had to put out. And plus, I got to sit down with this amazing artist yesterday over at Emo's after I saw her play. Her name is Lolo. She just put out an EP called The Comeback Queen, and she's on tour right now, the Wilderness Politics Tour, with Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, New Politics, the Griswolds, and of course, Lolo. Got to see them last night at Emo's and then sit down and talk to Lolo afterwards. She's a fantastic artist. She started off on Broadway in the play Spring Awakening. She was in that for a couple of years. And she's actually got, she did all the music for a new play called Songbird, which is off Broadway right now at the 59E59 Theater. And it runs through November 9th. She did all the music for it. There's a great article in the New York Times. I'll post it on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. So check it out. Yeah, I got to sit down and talk to Lauren Pritchard, who is also known as Lolo. She's got a new EP out called The Comeback Queen on DCD2 Records, which is owned by Pete Wentz of Fall Out Boy. And you can find it and find out all about her at weaponforsaturday.com. And listen, she's on this Wilderness Politics tour with all these guys until November 28th. They will be touring the Southeast and the East Coast, all the way up the East Coast. Tomorrow, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, Tuesday, November 3rd, they will be at the House of Blues in Houston. I know we got a lot of people that listen in Houston. Get over there, you know, tomorrow, Tuesday, November 3rd. Go see the Wilderness Politics tour at the House of Blues. Great room. Great artists, great bands. Got to see Lolo play live last night. It was actually supposed to happen before her show, but I'm glad that it ended up happening afterwards because I got to see her play. I got a little bit more insight into what she does and had a great conversation with her. Sit down and enjoy that. Oh, listen, in the middle of it, I bought some shitty batteries. I don't know what happened. They were crap batteries. I put them in one of my recorders. They went out a couple of times. Finally, it ends. For the last minute, it sounds a little funnier because it's on a different machine. But otherwise, I want to thank Lolo for taking the time and sitting down. I know she had just finished playing a show, and we just went off into this courtyard outside of Emo's and sat down and had a great heart-to-heart. She's awesome. You will enjoy our conversation. We'll get to it in just a second. Let me tell you what's going on with me. I played a lot. Friday I played in Houston. There were massive floods. It took me 6.5 hours to get to Houston. I had to take all these side roads beyond things. Roads were washed out. Bridges were washed out. And then I played this Halloween show. Got there right before we had to play, which was cool. I didn't have to sit around or do anything. I just, you know, ran it and played fucking 3.5 hours of shows. Anyway, left the next morning to come back to Austin on Halloween morning. Crazy rain, white knuckling it all the way home. It was pretty intense. And then played Saturday night. Pretty good time. And then, of course, before I saw Lolo and talked to Lolo yesterday, I got to play at Jumper Fest, which was a benefit for Adam Jumper, who passed away earlier this year in a motorcycle accident, and his family and guys that were in his band put together a really nice event. So I want to thank my friend Benjamin Londa for having me. And also, his brother Davis Jumper played before me, and he was playing with his wife, Joanna Jumper, fantastic percussionist. I found out that was her first time on stage, but she ended up jumping up on stage and playing with me the whole time. We had a great time. And then, threw my guitar in the trunk, jumped in my car, went to Emo's, and saw the amazing Lolo and her guy Josh playing guitar there. And amazing show. Great time. I actually got a shirt that's red with a heart on it. It says Lolo. And then got to sit down and talk to her outside at Emo's in the courtyard backstage. Please enjoy my conversation with the amazing Lauren Pritchard, also known as Lolo. You can find her at weaponforsaturday.com. All right? Let's get down.
On the phone to ring, I ain't so good about answering. Why am I always high when you show up?
Will you check your mic real fast?
Hello? Hello?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Hello.
You're great at talking on a mic.
I've been doing it for a very long time.
You have, haven't you?
I have been singing into a microphone since I was 5 years old.
Wow. Publicly?
Yes. I'm almost 28. So I have probably spent more of my life on stage than I have anywhere.
Well, that's what it takes.
If I'm perfectly honest. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a little...
Do you believe in the Malcolm Gladwell, the 10,000 hours to get good at what you do, to perfect what it is that you do?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I 100% do. I think that... I think that really more than anything... if you can let your brain tap into that place that it needs to go to be able to let yourself have the ambition enough to achieve one thing, right? Like focus on one thing. And that doesn't mean you can't be doing a million other things at once, but
yeah, but I mean you're doing a few things
at once. But
so am I.
But the common denominator is like the love of the game, right?
Yeah.
Because in a sense that like you're doing all of these things. You don't have to walk quietly. It's okay. the love of the game is so for real. But not that it's like a game. I mean, you know what I mean?
No, it's a game.
I mean, it is.
It's a giant game.
It's a weird version of chess or something. This move goes here.
It is.
And this one goes here.
Although, you know what? I don't think I can remember how to play chess.
I can't either.
I used to when I was a kid.
I can't either. But you know, my manager says, he goes, if you can be good at your career, you would probably be good at chess. Because you have to play.
Is that
Ian?
You
have to be strategic. One of them. Yes.
Yeah.
He's one of them.
He's a nice guy.
He's at Crush. Yeah. He's wonderful.
Yeah. He worked this out for us today, so we could do it later in
the
dark.
Nice. I know.
Man, this is a nice night.
It's moody.
Yeah.
I don't have to be wearing a jacket. It's been freezing everywhere else, which sucks.
Really?
Yeah, I mean it's like cold.
How long have you been on this trip?
We had a gig 2 days before we actually started tour in Portland. So we started in Portland. Hi, puppy.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
I love dogs.
Animals like
yeah,
actually more than anything.
They're so much better than people.
Oh, they like dogs and cats are literally like Oh, I love Bug. What's your name?
Be our best friend.
What is her name?
Marley.
Marley. Hi, baby.
Marley.
What a sweetie. So we started in Portland. We did a gig right before we started tour in Portland.
You live in New York?
I used to. I lived there off and on for 10 years. I live in Tennessee again, where I grew up.
You're back?
I am. I'm back in the South. I grew up in Tennessee. I grew up in Jackson, and I moved back there around Valentine's Day. From New York, because I finally got to a place where I could kind of live wherever I wanted, which was amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Just and not wasted in Jackson.
I'm happy about it. I mean, I'm totally still. I still have some of those feelings, but also not. But my feelings about it now is just because I want certain things about my hometown to grow.
Yeah.
But I'm happy about being back in Jackson. You know, some of it was me personally wanting to be back in my happy place, which is Jackson. Right. And I've always tried to spend a lot of time there, even if I wasn't living there, like paying rent there in theory. I
bet you can have an actual house there as opposed to New York.
You wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
Like the amount of money that people spend on rent in like what's considered a shoebox
right
is like the equivalent of a mortgage payment on a 7-bedroom home.
Yeah.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite unbelievable.
Yeah.
When you actually do the math, it's like shocking.
It's interesting because you've lived all these places and then mm-hmm. you came home to this place that like...
Yeah.
People need home, don't they?
Yeah. And, you know, for me, I think I got to a place where I was really, really missing my...
Roots.
And
yeah.
What was the light bulb moment? Like, ding, I had this moment. I mean, I make it very public that I have like a very serious love-hate relationship with New York. Because I love it. I also fucking hate it. It's the worst ever. But it's also the best ever because it's intolerable and beautiful all at the same time.
Right.
And I have been very fortunate that I have been able to live a very particularly blessed life in New York.
Right.
You know, I've had to be in experiences where, like, I've been able to see New York. I've been able to have a New York City life that... a lot of people don't get to have. Like, a lot of people don't get to live in New York City and have your face in fucking Times Square. And I have literally had that. And I have had all these varying degrees of a New York life that a lot of people don't get to experience. So I'm very glad about that, and that's the love side of it. But, like, New York is a very unforgiving place. And if you need forgiveness,
yeah.
that is not yeah, where you need to there. Be.
Hey, congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Being on the front page of the art section. Of the New York Times just this
Thank
last
you.
Week.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm still...
I was trying
I
to find those
digested.
Songs so I could hear them, but I couldn't
no,
hear them.
No, they're not in existence. Actually, we did record 9 songs from the show. There's 17 songs in all from the show. There's 9 songs that... We recorded 9 songs in April, sort of as a tool to be able to send out music to people who are looking to invest in us and
right.
they wanted to hear
right.
what we were doing and what it was all about. And so we did that. We're actually going to release a little like EP thing, kind of like a sampler thing.
Okay.
And then we're going to actually get into the process of recording a proper album. And I'm looking forward to that.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's something I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
The whole time today.
Yeah.
Is that there is, I'm like a rock and roll guy.
Yeah.
I grew up rock and roll. I am rock and roll. Mm. And
you look it.
There are people that, yeah, sad. I
you
look
do,
tired.
No,
like,
no
I look
it's great.
Beaten down by life.
It's the right rock and roll. No.
But there's this thing that, like, there's performance and execution in rock and roll.
Sure.
Vocals specifically that are raw.
Yeah.
And it's like a real thing that's happening to somebody, and you feel it.
Yeah.
Then there's Broadway training.
Right.
There's this giant smile.
Right.
And this
Ding.
Process kind of like execution of a thing that's this certain way.
Yeah.
And I wasn't shocked, but I was surprised and stoked to see that you can deliver.
Right.
Because you're first rock before
yeah.
you're a stage person, right?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean...
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
there's this weird Broadway...
Well, I mean, the thing that's... The best way I can describe it, without in any way insulting
Broadway.
Any...
Of course not.
Because I wouldn't. It's literally, like, the other
right.
massive
but
part
like
of
Iggy
my
Pop
life.
Was not a product of the stage.
No.
That was a guy that was a product of rock and roll.
Right. I mean, like, the Stooges, like,
yeah.
hello, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's probably, like, as far as you can get away from Broadway, like, the heroin needle
right,
story,
but like,
Alec shooting
Baldwin,
on the ceiling. Like
Alec Baldwin in Rock of Ages, the movie. I've never seen the stage production.
Yeah.
But, like, that kind of thing is
right.
what you think a Broadway person singing
totally.
Rock is like.
That's correct.
You are not like that. You are really rock and roll. You're in the real world.
Well, I think there are a few contributing factors. When I got hired for Spring Awakening, I was like doing the singer-songwriter thing in LA, and I got hired from there, and I did it off. I did the show off. I did a workshop. I did it off Broadway. I did it on Broadway. I sort of had my little journey with the show, about 3 years all in all. And I had my own thing. Like that I was doing in LA, you know, I was
right.
writing
yeah.
and doing
yeah,
my thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when I got hired, a huge, amazing thing happened, which is Duncan Sheik, who I don't go on record enough saying that, like, I kind of owe everything to Duncan, because Duncan did something remarkable for me, which is this. I had my final callback in New York City with everyone else in December of 2005, literally almost 10 years ago. It makes me feel extremely emotional to think about it, which is really weird.
You're so old.
I'm not. But
I'm like 20 years older than you.
I can't believe that my 10 year anniversary with like this enormously important thing to me is coming up. Actually, like I really have been so busy.
Are you really getting emotional?
No,
oh
I am.
My
no,
God.
It's totally fine. I just like I haven't actually thought about it. because it's so. I mean, I owe everything to this, that, and those people, and
there was a lot of people that came out of that cast too.
Yeah,
I was reading about that today.
It's pretty extraordinary. It's pretty like. It's pretty unbelievable. Like, if you actually take a pause for the cause and, like, look at what fucking happened, it is stunning.
You want me to pause the thing?
No, no. Are you good? No, okay. I'm fine. I promise.
Do you mind if I smoke? You're stressing me out.
No. Okay. No, I just quit smoking 6 weeks ago. And so smoke, please.
Shit.
Like, because I can't.
Blow it in your face?
No, like, please. Like, smoke it all around me. Yeah, no. Duncan did something remarkable for me. He saw me in December of 2015. And
wait,
I for my
it's not
like
December
2005.
Okay,
and he saw me sing at the final callbacks, and they hired me. They told me that day that I got the job for the role of Ilsa, and I was terrified. I was 17 years old. I did not live in New York City.
No, but you lived in L.A. at the time.
I lived in
we'll
L.A.,
get to that.
But like it was safe. It was a different. It was a safe situation. I was living with like Riley and Lisa, like very, very safe, very fine, being very well taken care of. And I had to leave all of my comforts and go live in a place on my own with like no money for like the best reason in the world. And what Duncan did was he goes, literally, don't change. I did not have to alter myself. Like, please don't change.
Take yourself onto the stage.
Please take what you have and do this.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
No, that's real shit.
And honestly, he did that for all of us. He wanted all of us to be
all
us.
All of us who? The cast?
Yeah. I mean, he wanted us
did
as
he
we
have,
were.
What did he have to do with the musical?
He wrote all of the music for Spring Awakening.
Yeah. Oh.
Duncan wrote all the music for Spring Awakening. And Steven Sater did the book and the lyrics. And Duncan did all of the music. And then another amazing man named Simon Hale did all of the arrangements. Well, not all of them, but like extra orchestrations and arrangements. And
right.
Like another amazing woman, Anne-Marie Milazzo, who's like a goddess. Oh, it's like I live my life to like grow up and be her. Like she's the best. Helped with all of the, there's all these like spooky vocal arrangements. If you listen to the cast recording, she did all that shit.
I did listen to this. It's like, I was trying to find you in it, but you can't ever tell when you're just listening to a thing.
My main song thing is on the cast recording, Don't Do Sadness, Blue Wind.
Okay. I don't know if I heard that.
So if you go back and you listen, that's what it is. But all of the and then there's another one called The Dark in a Well, which is like my other solo thing. And then the rest is like a bunch of group stuff. But you know, Duncan did that, which was remarkable, to just be like, be who you are. We want who you are. We don't want anything else. And that doesn't happen, you know. We were sort of like the rent of a different generation, and we were allowed to bring ourselves and the essence of us, if you will, the essence of each of us, if you will. And it was probably the best thing that could have happened to us.
That's fucking cool.
You know, but then on the flip side of that, which is the larger reality, I just, you know, the whole time I was in the show, I got my publishing deal to Sony ATV when I was in Spring Awakening in 2008.
How did you get that? Were you sending them songs or were there?
No, they came to
see
came
to you
the show.
And
they came to see Spring Awakening. I had in my bio, like, actually, I'm a singer-songwriter. I had a Facebook page. Duncan helped me. Duncan helped me record all of my demos for free because he's an angel and believed in me.
I don't really know his stuff that much. I was in a band with a drummer that was, like, his biggest fan.
Right. I mean, he's the barely breathing guy. But he is not the barely breathing guy. you know what I'm saying? Like, he's known for that, and he...
So did you when you got the job for Songbird, right?
My play.
Right.
Well, Songbird was funny because me and my collaborator, we just did it. We just created it.
Did you go to Duncan and talk to him and be like, "Hey, I'm doing the music for this thing. What do you think, buddy?"
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, I check in with him regularly, and we keep in touch, and he does give me notes, which I appreciate because I'm into the business of like getting better.
Yeah.
But improving, I should say.
And so the whole time you were in Spring Awakening, you were doing gigs and stuff and writing songs and staying in.
Yep.
You do a lot of co-writes or do you?
Yes and no. I mean, I didn't co-write for any of the Songbird stuff. That was all me. But generally, yes.
I'm dying to hear that stuff. Yeah. You're a fucking great songwriter.
Thank you. I have to say this.
I just got to refer to my notes just to make sure that I say everything right. Yeah. But I don't want to lie. Could be a new standard.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
sure.
A standard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we intentionally... wanted it to sound that way, you know.
I mean,
we wanted
it
to sound like, you know, dark at last or something, you know.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's like a real it's like a classic. It's like a standard. I could hear many people singing that song in
the
future.
It's been a pretty special experience to like every day I get these really sweet videos that get like tweeted at me from fans of people covering like Not Gonna Let You Walk Away and I Don't Wanna Have to Lie and like, ugh, it floors me. It means the world to me. Well, you care enough about me
it's
that you wanna sing
it?
My fucking song.
Yeah.
What? I'm dead. No, I'm done. I can't.
So let me ask you this. Is it like a terrible thing? Because has this whole,
what?
This Songbird play has been going on since you've been gone on tour.
I've been gone.
And like you get there the day before it closes or you're done with tour the day before. Do you get to see it?
I do.
In its glory?
I saw it last weekend.
Okay,
we had two consecutive days off between Salt Lake City
I was worried
and
about
Minneapolis.
That. I was thinking that.
So I literally ran off stage to the airport, took a red eye from Salt Lake City on a Friday night, flew to New York, got in at 6 in the morning, literally didn't sleep because I was like adrenaline high. And then I saw the show twice on Saturday, twice on Sunday, flew to Minneapolis on Monday. And resumed the tour. I will do the show at Terminal 5 in New York.
Okay.
Because I go on so early and we have an 8 o'clock show on Thursday nights. I will go literally across town because Terminal 5 is at 59th Street as well.
Yeah.
I will literally go like 7 blocks across town, 59th Street to see my show that night. And we have the 19th day off there as well before we go to Boston. So I will see the show then. And then I will see the show on the 29th of November. And then I will find out Monday whether we extend for a week to December 6th, which I'm praying. Because I would like to be able to see my show at least roughly about 15 times. Because otherwise I'd be there all day.
What was it like? What was it like seeing your songs on stage, when you got there, like you were in the middle of a tour and you fly and you do this thing and all these people are singing your songs in this theater.
Well, I mean, I have to say, like, it's very confusing, but in the best way. Like, there's a lot going on and I'm traveling with the Griswolds guys and they're phenomenal.
Also,
I love them. They're like the best.
You're like best. A with a bunch of dudes.
They're like the best. And I'm literally
Broadway,
sitting in the back and I'm like crying and they're just like letting me and they're there for me and they're beautiful and I literally love them more than anything. Like, and I'm like just emoting from every part of my body, like all of it. And, it was extraordinary. What I said to my mom, which I think sums it up the most, is that I'm sure this will change once I have a baby, whenever that happens. Definitely not anytime soon, as I don't even know where that would fit in on the schedule. But
you look to your imaginary watch.
I don't know where. Like, hello.
How is your...
What I said to her was... I know this will change when I have a baby, but this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Sure. That's your baby.
It is
my coming to life.
I birthed her on Wednesday and good God. Fuck. I said to the cast, cause I did get to spend 3 weeks in the rehearsal room with them before I left to come on tour.
Yeah.
So I was in New York for the nitty gritty part of the
singers and be like, "Hey, listen, you gotta,
I do, but yeah. but also no. I mean, our show is very special because it's set in singer-songwriter Nashville, and they're all supposed to be themselves. And the thing that's cool about it is the songs that they're singing, even though I wrote them. The moments in the show, what they're supposed to represent is like there's a song in the show that's supposed to be like a song that like everybody knows because it's been on the radio in life, yeah. or a song that this person wrote or a song that that person wrote. It's supposed to be something that they in our script they would have created or right. known, and so they have the freedom to make it their own, similar to a Spring Awakening thing, which is nice, and I get to see the essence of them all the time, and that we have the most extraordinary cast. They're just so good.
Do you great? Do you like writing in character? Like, did you write these songs in? The mindset yeah. of the character that you were writing?
I mean, yes and no. Some of them I didn't. Some of them I did.
Okay.
I think the thing that I liked the most, which is the character that I went to in my brain, is like little Tennessee girl, like Lauren, you know? Which is different than Lolo, but also Lolo, you know? Like, and it was nice to be able to go into my own world when creating.
Yeah.
And it was very therapeutic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Comeback Queen.
Okay.
Who produced that?
Jake Sinclair, Boy okay. Wonder.
Yeah?
In Los Angeles. He's okay. the best.
He's great.
The best.
Yeah.
Oh.
How'd you guys do that? Do you have the songs? You came in with the songs?
No. It was a 50-50.
You wrote
all
the songs
in.
With them?
Yeah. It was all my words. And then we did the music together. And then he produced it and recorded it.
Okay.
And we did it over 2 weeks, and we just did it. We didn't force ourselves. We didn't rush ourselves. We just did it. And, you know, we've done a lot. The last chunk of releases that I've done with him. Okay. I did a few things with an amazing man called Mark Batson. Weapon for Saturday, Heard It From a Friend. A few songs. Gangsters, You're on Summer Love. You see those online. Those are Mark Batson. He's a legend. He's like a part of Aftermath, Dr. Dre, all that goodness. He is an actual legend. He's amazing. And then, but the rest of the stuff, like Hit and Run and...
It's a great song, Hit and Run.
Should I put it out? I don't think I put out anything since then other than the EP. But all the other stuff post Hit and Run, Onwards, and this Comeback Queen EP has all been with Jake. I met Jake doing Miss Jackson, Panic at the Disco song.
Okay.
And yeah. that's initially how we met in July of 2013, and it was kind of like it just clicked. We are the same kind of demented weird person, and we get along like a house on fire, and we want the same things out of music, which I think is really important, which is like honesty.
Yeah.
Honesty, you know, and that was our driving force. You know, we were both going through something tremendous at the time.
What were you going through?
I can't really talk about it.
Okay.
But it was tremendous. And he was also going through something tremendous. And so we just sat in his studio for 2 weeks and just like dealt with our feelings together. And it felt really nice. And I would wake up every morning and I would, before I had coffee or could even think twice about what fucking drivel was coming out of my mouth, I would just sit with an iPad and I would just write out all of my feelings. And then I would compile everything from those words.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a fun jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's how you did it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You got a day off tomorrow.
Yeah.
What do you do outside of flying to New York to see the play that you just wrote the music for?
Well, because...
No one was impaled by a pane of glass. No. Everyone's fine. We're laughing about it now. All the boys are good. We made you drink whiskey backstage. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't.
Ah.
You better. You better.
So that's the cast giving you a nice message. So on your days off.
Yeah.
All
well,
right.
So Austin is like my favorite. And
is it?
Yeah.
Really? You can be honest with me.
No, it really is.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
I kind
of
think it's
favorite.
Like everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
How can it not be? You come here and the aura is different.
How many times have you been here? You did South by Southwest
here
ever?
A lot. I did. The last time I did South by was 2011. I think we're going to get to do it this coming year, which is exciting. I don't really know whether I can say that yet, but we are doing it next year. But anyway, I've been here a lot for like a lot of different reasons. You know, like being from the South, like I have friends who live here now. One of my dearest friends lives here. He's an amazing singer-songwriter named Adam Day. He lives here now. I've like come here for like weddings, and one of my best friends, when she got married in 2014, her now husband is from Corpus Christi, but they did their bachelor/bachelorette weekend here. Like, I've come here for random shit other than music, right?
Yeah.
So, and I've seen a lot of Austin.
All right, so what are you going to do on your day off?
Well, I think actually we're going to go kayaking because I think the weather's going to be nice. And we're like all into family fun. Me and Josh, who you met.
Yeah, it's just you and Josh. But also,
we can't do anything about. And our Griswold guys, like, we're into good family fun. The family that plays together stays together. Like, oh my God. I think we're gonna do that. I like the vintage shopping here is my favorite.
It's great.
Because all kinds of people like stumble through here. You just find shit. It just appears, and I have to be very careful about like going to the shops because I will have no money. And I already have no money, so it's interesting.
Let me ask you this because it's a weird question, but I think it's almost like my own personal question. Is writing songs for an off-Broadway play in any way a lucrative?
It can be.
It can be?
It totally can be.
Like right now?
No. But part of that is because we decidedly... Well, we're just starting out, but also we decidedly became a developmental production. So what happens in Equity, when you... Actors Equity Association, which is the theatrical union, there's all these rules and all these different things that happen, and theater rules. When you're a developmental production, you sort of intentionally don't make money. Because what you do is you want to say to the audience, this is still a work in progress, and there will be another life for this. And that go-around will be what it finally winds up being. It's in ways a safety measure.
It's almost like
measure.
Test marketing. You're watching to see what the audience's reactions are to things. And you're changing things and taking notes. And
for us, we felt that it was very important to do that because, honestly, not that I haven't been honest with you this whole fucking time, but honestly, I have, fortunately and unfortunately for all of us. It's not that we didn't think we were good enough to be a production, but we did not expect to be a production this early.
Right.
And honestly, what happened was in May, like, we got this phone call from 59 East 59th Street Theater, where we're doing Songbird, and they said, you guys want, we had something happen with the show that was supposed to be in this slot. Do you want it? We believe in you. And normally, you do have much more time to prepare.
Yeah.
And so for us, we decided to still be a developmental production because that, you know, we are, I mean, we're, you know, sometimes it's always a work in progress, but we are, you know, we didn't actually do that many workshops of this. I mean, Spring Awakening was a thing for 10 years before it ever was even off Broadway, let alone on Broadway. And I don't know that that's the period of time you always need, but like it takes time to get
it
right.
A while. Yeah. Yeah.
And your first draft is like, never the thing, you know?
Right,
like,
yeah.
I haven't done my research on that, but
no,
I don't
No, but you
think
meet people that write movies and stuff, and you're like, hey, how did this happen? You're like, dude, they're like I wrote 18
forever.
Versions of
yes.
this movie, yeah. Yeah.
And that's why when like you write a book, you have an editor.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah,
why
yeah.
you know, you... But for us, we're very lucky that we have an audience for this, and we can see what works and see what doesn't.
When you work with a producer, do they edit at all your lyrics? Do they go like, hey, this is cloudy,
sometimes.
Go back and fix it? Yeah.
Sometimes, I mean...
How do you handle that?
Fine. I'm
good.
Not,
yeah,
I'm
you
not
seem,
shitty
you
about
You seem like
it.
You just want to be great.
Yeah, I mean, it's beyond that. I want to be understood. So whatever I have to be to be the most understood, I don't give a shit. And if I'm understood to five people, that's good for me. Because it does not matter. I mean, yes, don't get me wrong. Money makes everything easier, obviously. We all know that. That's like the first thing you learn when you have to start adulting.
Well, listen, when you have a gold hamburger medallion hanging from your neck like you do.
Can't be all bad.
Yeah, can't be all bad.
I guess
no,
that's
money
true.
Makes things easier.
Money makes things easier in the sense that, like, like literally, like survival easier. But it doesn't make anything easier. The more money you have, the more fucked up things get, because the more shit you wind up having, the more shit you have to deal with, the more fucking people that are going to be bothering you to pay for all that shit. Yeah. You're like, fuck off. It's the worst thing ever. And you know what? Like, for me personally, I've made a lot of money. I've also lost a lot of money, and I don't give a shit. I'm still going to be doing it anyway. It's not going to change. It's
never
going to
change. You can tell in your music that you're an artist.
It doesn't. Yeah. I mean, for me, like if I had to compare myself, my inner artist spirit, I would have been one of those like hoo-ha crazy people in fucking Shakespeare time, like walking around with a lyre, like like with no money, broke as hell, like just singing to sing. It doesn't matter. So it's sort of like, I don't care if I'm the opener. I don't care if I'm the headliner. Not because I don't care. I do care. But also, like, that's not why I do this. That's not who I am in my core. That's not my driving motivation. My driving motivation is that the good, sweet Lord in heaven, who I pray to every day, gave me a tremendous gift and an ability in my life to make music, to be able to communicate, and to not be afraid to communicate. That is an enormous blessing, that I had parents from a young age who recognized and went, there's something there. There's something that she is saying that needs to be heard. My parents love music more than anything other than their kids and their grandchildren.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two brothers, one up, one down. And
you're the middle kid.
I am the middle kid. That's I'm the girl and the middle kid, and they're my best friends, and
good.
They have taken good care of me and saw something in me that needed to be attended to, and they did, and it was tremendous, and they have given me everything. And I would say my driving motivations are the respect for God, who gave me the gift, and my parents, who have literally given me everything to make my dreams come true. And so, you know, something like the moment where Songbird gets to be on the front of the New York Times arts section is like the proudness that they feel is like the best gift anyone can give me. It's better than money. It's better than sex. It's better than any good food. It's better. It's just better than any of that. And then to be able to stand on a stage and look out into a sea of people, and they sing your words back to you. It's an understanding of being heard that feels so much greater than words exist to express. And I would have nothing without the people who have believed in me and stood by me all these years from the many phases of my life and my career. And, you know, I call myself a cat, you know, because I have sort of had, well, I'm on like life 5, but, you know, I've had multiple lives, and I'm like, you know, for me, like, I shouldn't say I'm not worried about anyone else. I'm worried about everyone, which is my problem. I'm like worried about the world and global warming, and I'm a very maternal person. So
But you're not a mom.
I'm not a mom, but I'm a mom in the sense that I think maternally first.
Yeah.
And God forbid whoever winds up being my children, like, on the record, like, bless you. I'm just like, God bless you. But because I'm going to be the mom of them all, because I am. And people have been calling me Mama Pritch since I was a very little girl, because I was always that way. I was always a caretaker. And, you know, but for me in my life and what I'm doing, I'm not worried about anyone else. I believe that God is putting me where I need to be, where he wants me to be. If I wasn't there, then I'm not supposed to be there. If it doesn't happen, then it doesn't, because it shouldn't have. And I have kind of always been that way. I reconciled it with myself years ago when I was younger, and you get upset about shit that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just stopped doing it. It was a waste of energy and time. And, you know, at this point where I am, I mean, obviously I have no complaints. But beyond that, you know, I think the fact that for those of us who get to do this music thing as a thing, as a real thing.
It's fucking great, right?
It's crazy. Yeah. And whether you get to do it in a small way or the biggest way, it actually doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because if you actually love it more than all of it,
yeah.
It doesn't matter, because you're going to get the same head rush.
Yeah.
It's like, if you like drinking wine, it doesn't fucking matter whether you're drinking the $10 bottle
Yeah. Or the $100 bottle, because it's still wine.
Yeah.
And the theory applies to me, to
stomp
music.
A feet. It's
no,
still
but it
wine.
Does. It's yeah. still wine. It's
yeah,
still
it's the
music.
Same thing. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I mean, the thing that I always, because I, in my downtime, whenever I have it, I teach. I coach, a vocal coach.
Really?
I teach songwriting lessons.
I feel like I could use some coaching from you. Your voice is fucking amazing.
Oh, thank
it
you.
It really is.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I've spent a lot, you know, some people get really good at guitar and I get really good at my vocal cords. Yeah. So I spent my time working on this instrument and getting to know it really well. I mean, I think that's like, I know what my voice can do and I know what it can't.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's not just that, there's a character in your voice that you're able to sell things. You know what I mean? You're able to tell the story
sure.
believably.
Sure.
You know?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and this is the thing of all things. If you don't believe it, and you're the one communicating, you're fucked.
Same thing with acting.
Done. It, honestly.
If you don't believe what you're saying,
it's the same
no
thing
one
with
else
anything
is.
In life.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
if you don't yeah. believe it, you are screwed. There is nothing that can rectify that. You
yeah.
know. So. You know, I just sort of think. Particularly with this Comeback Queen EP, we went in and Jake said, "What do you want to do?" That I know we've been doing this alternative thing. I don't really want to do that. I just want to do me. I just want to say what's on my mind. I just want to do it. I don't even care if they like it at this point. Like, let's just do it. Let's send it over. If they hate it, fuck it. We'll do something else. But let's just do us. Let's
yeah.
do, you know, let's do us. And that's what we created. It's very special.
How's Josh on the road?
The best.
He a good guy?
The best. The best.
He's great on stage, man. He's a great foil for you.
He's phenomenal.
You know? Even if you guys built a band around you guys.
Well, we technically, we have other people, but they're not here with us.
Yeah.
We made a decision to not
involve others.
Well, I mean, we do a 20-minute set for this and
yeah.
It's
yeah.
just simpler, honestly, because
sure.
there's
yeah.
a lot going on the stage. There's four bands. It's like a mini music festival.
Yeah, it is like a mini music festival.
It's
in fact,
exhausting.
I was telling someone what I was coming to tonight at the gig I was at earlier.
They were like,
and,
what?
And they asked if it was a festival.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it's just
no,
a bazillion
just a
bands.
Crazy concert.
So you're playing at House of Blues in Houston Tuesday, November 3rd.
Yeah.
Which would be tomorrow when this comes out.
No. Yes, tomorrow.
Yes,
yes
okay.
that's right.
So. I love that stage. A House of Blues, like, look, some people have a, like, hey, I'm against a corporation. I want to go
sure.
to Emo's all the time
right.
and be in this thing. I totally do, too. That place is run so well, and they treat
really?
You so well.
Well,
the
I mean,
House
the House
of Blues,
of Blues
in general.
House
just,
of Blues in general.
Yeah.
I've played various House of Blueses over time. I've never been to the Houston one.
It's great.
And we were last night at Dallas House of Blues. It was the best.
Yeah, that's a great House of Blues too.
They just like
they're
kind baller.
Of the same. It's
they,
kind of got their McDonald's
yeah,
in that
it's
way,
amazing.
But it's
amazing. We
yeah.
love that
yeah.
normalcy
yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
good when yeah. you're on a road. You know what it's like. I'm tired. You're like seeing all these.
You don't want
places.
Questionable
like,
monitors
no.
in your shit.
I want to know
yeah.
where I'm going. It's reliable. I don't. The food is gonna be good. People are gonna know what the hell you're talking about. I am like all for the House of Blues.
Me too. I
unity
totally
and diversity. And there is something about their. That being the all-encompassing goal of that organization,
yeah.
unity and diversity, that I'm like, yes,
yeah,
this
that's
is
exactly
like the
right.
larger message of life. Like, can't we all just get along? Like, hello. And there's something that happens when people walk into a place and it literally says it.
Yeah.
Up at the top, unity and diversity, like no fighting, no fussing, fuck
no.
off if you have a problem.
Yeah.
Unity and diversity. You
yeah.
get in, you're out. It's
yeah.
very simple.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. It's
yeah.
it's a relief, honestly, more than anything.
Huge relief.
Yes.
And so you'll be on the road until November 28th.
Yeah.
You'll be doing the Southeast and the East Coast.
Yep.
People can find out where you're playing by going to weaponforsaturday.com.
That's it.
And is there anything else I'm missing?
No.
I like you.
We've talked about everything.
I spent a lot of time like in your world online,
yeah.
and now I'm actually meeting you. I'm a little starstruck. I have to be honest.
No, well, don't worry. No,
okay.
Don't worry about that.
Good.
I'm just a person. We do all the normal things like everybody else. Everybody pees, everybody cries, everybody dies, right?
You cried on the show. Thank you, by the way. That
I
might help my ratings.
I did cry on the show. I sort of did not realize that I'm like
Maybe you didn't realize I'm actually the Barbara Walters of Austin.
You just are, Johnny. It's crazy. It's so nice.
So, okay. So people should get out and pick up Comeback Queen. You can get it. It's on DCD2 Records.
Yes. It's only... It's
the
only...
Fall Out Boy record label. Well, it was really nice to meet you. It was great. I'm glad I actually got to see you play before we did this because I got like a little more
Lolo. Yeah, that was nice. Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for the time.
Yeah, thank you for the time. Yeah, you're amazing. You're really talented.
Thank you.
Great handshake, too, by the way. Whoa, all of it.
Well, you know.
Thank you so much. People get out Weapon for Saturday. Find out when Lolo's coming to a town near you and get out there and pick up the EP.
Thank you.
All right. Keep on talking about how all we need is magic, but the misdirection followed the mind. Yeah, Lolo. Lauren Pritchard, man, it was so great getting to talk to her. I'm so glad, actually, that I ended up interviewing her later because I got to see the show before I talked to her, and that was a really, really great show. I suggest you, if you're in Houston, Tuesday, November 3rd, that's tomorrow, if you're listening to this the day that it comes out, she will be in Houston at the House of Blues. She will be on tour until November 28th on this giant tour with all those bands, so get out there and check it out. You can find out where she will be by going to weaponforsaturday.com. You will also be able to pick up the Comeback Queen EP there. It's available. It's on SoundCloud. It's on Spotify. You can buy it on iTunes. You can pick it up at the show. I got a shirt. It's white. It has a red heart on it and says Lolo. So anyway, I want to thank Lauren for sitting down and talking to me. And listen, while you're out there checking out Lolo on iTunes and on Facebook and whatnot, don't forget you can like our Facebook page. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It's available anywhere if you're just coming to the show for the first time. If you're a Lolo fan, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm grateful for you. All right, come on back. We got lots of interviews with tons of people, great conversations, great artists, just like Lolo. I'm really glad that I got to talk to her. Let's listen to her song, I Don't Want to Have to Lie, which is available on the Comeback Queen EP. Now listen, I'm not joking. I think this song could be a standard. It is a classic sounding song that I feel like is timeless feeling. All right, so thank you to Lolo. Thank you to everyone who helped set this up, and have a great day. Let's get down. I don't wanna have to lie to everybody about how I feel. I can't eat, can't sleep, I'm on my knees praying for a miracle. It's alright what you say, like a knife. I know you like the taste of blood. I hate you, I have you, I lose you, I just want someone to love.